Well, first came the Wall Street crash, then the housing bubble, now the next financial crisis we are told will be the massive student loan debt. And joining us live is Peter Morici, economist and professor at the University of Maryland Smith School of Business. Peter, good morning. Good to have you with us again.
Nice to be with you.
You know, we tell the kids here, go to college, prepare, you know, make a good contribution to society, and now they are saddled with student loans that in many cases it's going to take generations to pay off.
Well, they do die with you. You can't discharge them in foreclosure, but they don't pass on to your heirs. But it's very similar to the housing crisis. Everybody wanted a home. They paid too much. They paid more than they were worth, and they paid more than they would earn over their lifetime, so they couldn't pay them off. Likewise, students are faced with a tough choice. If they don't go to college, the jobs aren't very good. If they do, many aren't enough better to pay the cost, so they simply don't get their debts resolved. You know, we've got collection agents hounding people in their 80s on student loans.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising to see you point out 17% of delinquent student loans owned by folks over the age of 50.
Absolutely. You know, we've had a couple of tough recessions over the last several years, despite the boom in the last decade. Long periods where baby boomers could not find a decent job, and then the people that followed them, you know, could not find a decent job, get their careers on track. They earned some money, but they never really earned enough to pay off their loans. They kept postponing, and now they're stuck with them.
Well, some fear that their loans, which are difficult to pay off as it is right now, are going to be much more difficult if the rate of interest that they're charged on them goes up. What can we do for them that will avoid a crisis that could affect everyone?
Well, we're going to have to reconsider this notion that student loans should not be forgiven in foreclosure the way, say, housing debt is. After all, who are we talking about? 17-year-olds making decisions about, you know, mortgaging their income for the rest of their lives, often guided by counselors at schools and at banks who have a vested interest in getting their money, who don't counsel for them to the best choices. You know, nobody tells an English major at Swarthmore College, why pick on poor Swarthmore, XYZ College,
okay,
that, you know, an English degree isn't worth a whole lot, and getting into a six-figure debt can be a very bad choice. And while the average student loan is maybe $25,000, $30,000, because most people do go to state colleges or a couple of years of community college, these private liberal arts colleges and universities, you can run up a pretty sizable debt pretty quickly. Six figures is easy.
Well, not to mention, you know, medical school and law school. It's the same thing. It's not just liberal arts.
We have lawyers moving back in with their parents, practicing lawyers, because they can't pay rent and pay their student loans. I mean, I looked at my son's going to leave for law school next year, and I've put aside $300,000 for that purpose. Now, most people don't have a father that can do that, or mother, and as a consequence, they borrow that kind of money to get through. Now, if you go to Harvard and you get a K Street job, that's a manageable debt. It's very manageable. But a lot of folk, you know, go to, say, New York Law School or American University Law School. Some of them end up on K Street anyway. But many of them end up in ordinary practice where they're charging $200 an hour. Sounds like a lot, but you don't get that many billable hours. And at the end of the day, they can't pay off their debts.
Unbelievable.
Wow, I'm going to get him to work on my 401k. That's pretty good.
My dad, Peter Morici. Peter, did you hear anything from your institution about your contention that many students go to universities to enjoy, in your words, intellectually pleasing but practically useless programs?
No, not this time. Although occasionally the dean's office or the president's office gets a call about what I say on the radio. I'm sure that doesn't surprise you.
We do too.
When I hosted on a rival station, I did talk about this at length, and there was some hysterical phone calls made to my department chairman. I think it is responsible for me to say that a lot of people during bad times go and get master's degrees. Yep. I think it's responsible for me to say that some people are wasting their money getting MBAs because of where they get them, the schools don't have a good placement rate, or what they choose to study while they're there. You know, it makes a big difference in a business school, for example, whether you take finance or a general business major.
But, you know, Peter, we don't have any programs that link the jobs that are open, and there are a lot of them that are open, that we don't have qualified people to work in, regardless of whether they have advanced degrees.
I don't understand your question.
Well, let's take the oil industry. There are places like the Dakotas where thousands of jobs are open right now. They can't fill because they don't have skilled workers who can fill them.
Well, you always have that when you have a boomtown and people move to the boomtown.
Wouldn't it be nice to take 16,000 unemployed people and move them in that direction?
Well, it depends on whether they have the skills and whether they're willing to go. There's always this problem in the jobs market. It's a very different story than graduates. Graduates tend to be mobile. It's older people, people in their 30s and 40s with community ties, children in high school, and so forth that don't like to move. One of the problems with extended unemployment benefits, here come the phone calls, is they discourage people from making those moves. You know, the further you are down in the pay chain, the more flexibility you have, in a sense, because your skills are more general. You know, it isn't like you're a corporate tax lawyer who deals with, you know, special utility issues from the 40s and 50s, legacy cases. You lose your job in New York, the firm is contracting, and you need to find another firm that can use those skills.
All right, Peter, I got to wrap us up before I lose this job, okay?
Take care.
All right, Peter Morici, economist and professor at the University of Maryland Smith School of Business.